Hello and welcome to the Building Tech Teams podcast from Venturi's Voice. I'm your host, Andy Davis. In this show, I'll be chatting to hiring experts from all sectors about their careers in tech. The show aims to bring you insights, anecdotes and stories from like-minded professionals that you can learn from and apply to your own career. If you like the show and you want to hear more from us, you can follow us via SoundCloud, iTunes or Spotify, or join us on Slack. Thank you and enjoy the show. We've got Moritz Heyinger here. He is the co-founder and managing director at Disco Eat. Moritz, absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Apologies about we had a slight delay before we got the show started here.
No worries at all.
Still can't figure out this video calling stuff after all these years, but you know, it's certainly an ambition of mine to nail it. But maybe it's not me. I think a lot of people seem to struggle with it. I think it was one of those technologies where it's been around for ages. We kind of said, that's good enough, and then we moved on, I think.
Yeah.
So pleasure to have you on the show. Just for context, if you wouldn't mind just giving the listeners a little bit of a brief overview of your kind of background and experiences, if that's okay.
Perfect, great. So, as you said, I'm one of the three co-founders of Disco Eat. We are a yield management platform for restaurants. So we essentially help them fill tables during times when they need the most people. I'm from Germany. We live in six different countries. I have a background in business. I studied international management and finance at the University of Cologne and Singapore. After my studies, I started my career at Bain & Company in the management consulting and did a lot of tech and M&A private equity for like 3.5 years. But then I joined the startup world. I became the managing director of Food Panda, the largest food delivery company in Southeast Asia. First in Indonesia, in Jakarta, and then I moved to Hong Kong and took over the Hong Kong business. And after that experience, I stayed in Asia. I went back to Singapore to become interim CEO of Enchanto, which is the largest e-commerce selling technology player in Southeast Asia. And then after a year, moved back to Germany for the first time again to Berlin to set up the DACH, the Germany, Austria, Switzerland business of a company called Tinklabs, Hai.com, which used to be the largest startup from Hong Kong. That raised more than 200 million. And then at the beginning of last year, in April, I co-founded Disco Eat with two partners, with Nicolo and Shimon. Since then, we've been developing the business. Now we're live in Berlin, in London, and in Cologne, Western Germany, with more than 260 restaurant partners. And I've been growing 10% week on week. So it's been a fantastic journey since we launched.
Awesome. You are the modern man. I mean, you make the world seem like a very small place based on your travels.
Yeah, I mean, I've always liked getting around. I think I've visited more than 55 countries. So my goal is to actually see one new country every year that I haven't been to before, which is now getting more and more difficult. but the world is a small place and technology makes it even smaller.
Yeah. What are the kind of benefits for, you know, having the experiences that you've had in different countries? I mean, we'll get into obviously the work that you were doing, but you know, the actual experiences that you were having out there, how much of a impact does it have, you know, being exposed to varied cultures?
I think the most important thing in your life is to be exposed to several different cultures, but also people of different socioeconomic groups in a given country, because you get to learn so many different views and angles on life and problems which those people face, and you see different solutions to different problems in different countries. I mean, I lived in Southeast Asia, but Southeast Asia is Southeast Asia. I mean, Jakarta is a totally different world than Singapore, for example, right? And then like in Northeast Asia with Hong Kong is a totally different place. I lived in Switzerland and then in Germany and the US. So you have all these different views on tech, on the world, on problems, and it just opens your mind. You see a lot of different things and it helps you basically find new solutions to existing problems in your place. And I think a key skill to have, I think, is to get along with or be able to talk with people from all kinds of different countries and cultures and socioeconomic statuses.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk about your kind of background experiences and how they perhaps prepared you for, finding DiscoEat. So you said you obviously worked for Bing in management consultancy. So did you kind of do your accounting, or like what was the kind of focus area for you, and what skills do you feel you particularly have taken from that experience that perhaps best prepared you for starting your own thing?
I mean, during my studies, I focused on finance and international management, and I did this international management master. So part of the study was to do an internship abroad in a different country. I did my exchange at National University in Singapore for 6 months, because I always kind of knew that I wanted to build my own business, but I didn't really have a great idea. I mean, we founded a small media company during university, but nothing big. So the natural first step for me was to go into consulting, because consulting gives you the chance to see a lot of different industries, a lot of different problems and parts of company. So that's why I joined Bain for 3.5 years. And I did private equity with them, consulting for a year and a half. We see basically a new industry every single month. So that really like opened my mind and got me a lot of skills, I guess, which then helped me when I moved to Foodpanda, because I kind of went from big corporate consulting and PE to like big startup Foodpanda. So I kind of could learn how to run a big startup without basically being invested in with all my money and then having the big risk. And then I kind of went to big company from Asia, setting up from scratch in Germany or Europe, to then finally doing the step of starting my own startup from scratch, raising funding and so on. So I guess the goal to build my own company has always been there, but I didn't just want to build a company for the sake of building a company without having a good idea. So it was a journey, I guess. The background has always been international management and kind of like building structures and building companies, if you want.
Yeah, well, but I think that's a great lesson, I think, because I think what technology has enabled us to do now is to really reduce the barrier to entry for people kind of building their own startup, right? And I think that that's great. Obviously, we've seen some success stories from some very young people, but they are the minority. And I think the important thing to remember is that it's not just about just building something digitally and going live with it. It is about building processes, building structures. You know, you are building a business at the end of the day. And I think that one thing I would always recommend to people is, people are just like, oh, I just want to start a business. I just want to do this. Well, go and learn it. Go learn it and get paid to do it for a while. And then, you'll kind of learn what you need to learn, and you'll feel ready when the time comes. But I do see a bit of a trend towards people almost being like, yeah, I don't really want to do it. I'm just going to start my own thing and give it a go. Well, actually, it's incredibly difficult, and there are skills that you need to acquire that perhaps require more than just getting, a degree, for example. And obviously, you're a great example of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a bunch of studies out there even that show that the most successful startups are actually built by people who are not in their 20s, but are actually in their late 30s or early 40s or something, because those people have acquired a lot of industry know-how and experience and so on. I mean, our founding team, I mean, I'm 33, my co-founders are 33 and 35. We've all worked for like a decade, essentially, almost in like in somewhat related industries. I mean, working at Foodpanda really gave me great learnings, and Nicola as well, on like how the restaurant industry works, what issues they face, how their cost structures are. And then basically putting that together with the tech know-how that we had, we kind of came up with that solution with DiscoEat and what we do today. So I agree. I think, yes, some lucky ones may start a business in their early 20s and then they turn out to be billionaire 5 years later. But I think starting a startup for the sake of starting a startup, I wouldn't recommend it to everyone, because I would learn before as much as you can till you find the real problem to solve. And
Agreed. And I think that you only kind of learn that through really deep diving into an industry in a lot of cases. Like you mentioned, the people who were older, the experiences they have is because they really fundamentally understand the marketplace. And, they have, because of their experience, that's ultimately why they've found, like, the likelihood is that they found a niche there and you know are able to execute on that. So yeah, it's just a great lesson, I think, is to for people to be patient and not hate the idea. I think it's a very millennial ideal. It's like to hate the idea of working for someone. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's actually it can be really great and empowering if you're, you know, in it for the right reasons and you're motivated by learning, you know, for the idea that there is a greater purpose down the line for yourself. So I just like the example, I suppose. I'm harping on a bit, but I do like it. So, you know, obviously getting started with Disco Eat, you know, quite obvious about, you know, generating enough experience, you know, came up with the idea. How long was the process from, you know, came up with this idea to actually, you know, working on it kind of full time to where you're up to now? What's the whole kind of time scale been of it?
That's actually pretty quick because, like, I was talking to my co-founder Nicolo in January last year about the whole idea, and he kind of like looked at different options for him about like starting a business, joining another company. But then we discussed the model, we discussed the solution, and so on. And then we were pretty quickly decided, I think 3 months later, that it was actually a business that we want to start. So we got Shimon, the CTO and co-founder, on board. And then, I think between first discussing it and actually like founding the business was 4 months.
Wow.
And then we went out and talked to a couple of VCs and then raised our seed funding in August. So like 4 months after that. Then it took roughly, so we launched, we built a team and built a product and everything, started signing contracts with restaurants in August once we raised the funding. And I think in November already we did a soft launch in Berlin with family and friends. And in January this year, we opened the platform to the public. So it all went pretty quickly, actually.
Amazing. That is pretty quick. Yeah. That's really quick. But I suppose that's the way to do it, though, isn't it? I mean, while you've got the momentum, I think it's if you're able to do that, then, you know, I think it's the funding side of things and et cetera. It can be a tricky one depending on what the startup is. But if you can make it happen, you know, raise that seed round or whatever you need, then, yeah, obviously the quicker you can be on it full time kind of makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, having building a good team quickly, I think, is the most important thing. I mean, you can only do as much as three co-founders. So I think it's all like the only reason we are today where we are today is because of the fantastic team that we were able to hire and retain. And that's, I guess, the key to quick execution, to have a team you can trust and a team that executes.
Absolutely. And I suppose, were they a lot of the early members, were they people through your sort of network that you were able to just meet?
Exactly. It was people through our network, but then it was also some people that we got introduced from friends. And I mean, we quickly built a team from three people to, I think, 24 people at the end of last year. And then we added another 10 people basically this year. So we had the whole core team for Berlin and HQ set up by the end of last year. And this year we expanded to London and to Cologne. And so we just added people in those cities. So that's why we now are roughly 35 people at the moment. But yeah, getting a good team, getting good people as quick as possible is vital.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And was that always, did you always kind of assume that would be the case? Or was there sort of assumptions that were perhaps misled from, you know, before you actually got the wheels turning until what actually happened? Interested to know what were some of the sort of, yeah, what were some of the kind of misled ideas about what would perhaps be difficult and what you'd end up spending all your time on and then actually the reality?
Good question. I think we thought that fundraising will take a lot longer, but we got seed funding round done pretty quickly, like after 2 or 3 months, where we basically didn't have a product, didn't really have a team except for maybe two key people, and basically only had a couple of slides. But I guess the fact that we were a team who's experienced, who knows the industry, and that solving a real problem that's easy to explain to people, I think that that really helped in raising raising that money. So we thought it would take longer. So we're actually able to raise fairly quickly, and then with that money, build a team.
Awesome. Yeah. It's like you say, it's an interesting one, but you mustn't have known that world quite well, the kind of the fundraising side, obviously from the other end of things when you were, on the other, working for Bain, et cetera. So I'm sure it's a lot different being on this side of things, but how different was it, you know, from being on the side that were, you know, involved in raising versus, you know, actually needing the money?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like if you're working at Bain, I was on the investor side and I looked at the due diligence and everything, but it was also tickets, so like 500 million or more, right? Because it was like big PE deals. And now in a seed round, I mean, you're asking for like 2-3 million or whatever. So it's different amount of money. But still, I mean, it's as important as basically building the business, even though it can be sometimes more annoying than building a business, because obviously all the time you spend on raising funds, talking to investors, pitching the same story over and over again. You have a few ones that get it right away. You have others who don't get it. You have others that burnt their finger in the restaurant tech space. I mean, it's a necessary part of the business, but building the business and like executing and growing it is obviously the more fun part of the business.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And was that like a realization, or was that something that you always kind of felt you would do?
It wasn't really a realization. I think it was clear from the beginning that obviously if you build a business like we do, it's a business that requires investment and that's not profitable from day one. Like if we think about a city like London, for example, you would get that city profitable like after 1 year. But till then, you need to invest money in the business, right? Mm. And that money, obviously, I've made so much money to invest to basically fund everything by my own. So it was clear from the beginning, obviously, that we need VC money. But VC money is also good because like, when you talk with VCs, they're smart, they have experience. So they don't just give you money, they also give you support. They can serve as a sparring partner. So it wasn't a realization. It was clear from the beginning. But once you have the money in the bank and can then focus on building the business, that's, for me, the more fun part. But I think that's the case for every founder, right?
Yeah, well, you probably feel a bit more drawn towards it. You feel a bit more sensitive towards it, I suppose.
Exactly. Yeah.
So question about culture and your kind of take on it. I think with most startup founders, they probably go into building the company with an idea of culture in mind. What was that for you?
I mean, for me, I think my personal experience that the most important thing is to work in a culture. The most rewarding things when working at a company is to be surrounded by people who want to make things happen and like who want to grow, right? Mm-hmm. It's the people around you that make you better and that help you grow personally. And this is also a culture that that we are building here at Disco Eat. So I think it's really defined by the culture as such is defined by the people that work for you, for your company. And like culture doesn't mean putting like a foosball, like a table soccer or somewhere, giving free drinks, coffee and fruits, whatever. I think I can buy that. Like culture for me is much more closely tied to the values of the company. Therefore, we developed our own values. And we also learned a lot from other leading companies to build great culture, right? I think the great challenge of a business is when you start out small, right? It's very easy. You don't need culture because everyone works with the founders and people just ask the questions and so on. But the moment you get bigger, you can't control everyone's actions. I mean, you don't want to control everyone's actions. So you need cultures and values that are in place. Now with more than 35 people at Disco Eat, the culture becomes more and more important. So as a founder, I can only spend very limited amount with each employee in a given week. Therefore, the invisible rules that culture and values bring to the company are becoming more and more important. And I think at Disco Eat, we're trying to live by our values, walk our talk, just give the people the right context rather than controlling people in what they do. So I guess in summary, it's with like hiring and developing and keeping the right people, walking your talk, having the people that share your own values, creating the right context for people, having transparent upward and downward feedback. And last but not least, I mean, creating an environment where people are always challenged and are able to grow personally through the challenge, because this is what makes people stay with your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, for you, what was that in mind? What were some of the principles that you wanted to make sure you get across specifically, if you can talk about that?
So I think one thing is, and we looked at many different companies, and like all of us, the founding team together, has worked for several different companies. I think the key things that we learned is that we want to build a dream team, and a family also, so to say, the weakest link that you need to take care of. But if you're a Champions League team, you're going to be a team of professional people. That's why when we hire people, we look for those values. When we promote people, we look for those values. But also when we need to fire people, we look for those values. It doesn't happen very often, but we don't want brilliant jerks in the company who just have amazing skills but bad behaviors. And we don't want to have the guys who are like super nice that everyone likes, but they don't perform. They're not driven by the goal to have an impact, right? So you always need to find, how we define values is people who have the skills and the behaviors that we want of this breed. And with several different values. I mean, it starts with customer centricity, wanting to have an impact, being passionate. But it's 10 values that we have that we live by and that also define our performance review. So in our performance review, we look for examples where people have shown that they live by those values. And we do that every 2 months with our employees to see that we're all aligned and everyone is sharing the values and living the values.
Awesome, mate. Yeah, no, I love it. It's so important, isn't it? Because especially in a company that is essentially going to be growing fast, you know, you do really need those values in place, like you say, to ensure that, you know, however the company starts, it is actually going to maintain some of those ethics and those values as it grows. It's, you know, it really can be a major ditto factor in a company's success. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Although it's obviously quite difficult to quantify that. You know, there's a reason why people spend so much time thinking about it now.
Exactly. I mean, it's key because you cannot micromanagement. I hate micromanagement. But if you have people that you can trust that live by your values, they're the ones who have an impact. They're the ones who get things done. They're the ones who are leaders and that other people follow. And you just need to develop those values in people. And it starts with hiring, right? But obviously, then it's about getting everyone to have the freedom, but also the responsibility to do an amazing job.
So now, you know, obviously getting the wheels turning, what's the kind of some of the more exciting milestones that you're looking forward to ahead? Have you kind of built things in a way where it's very much like, you know, I want to achieve this by then, or are you very much kind of taking things in your stride at this point?
No, I mean, we're at the very beginning, right? We launched Berlin at the beginning of this year. I mean, we're growing 10% week on week. We signed in total in 3 cities, 260-270 contracts. So we keep pushing those cities. We want to raise a bigger round at the beginning of 2020. We want to expand to the US because one of our angel investors founded a big company in the US. So he has the right network to all the big US VCs. So we want to expand to more cities. We want to make our product smarter, the engine, the yield management engine that basically adjusts the prices much smarter. So there's next milestones of product, so make the engine smarter and expansion in terms of cities and countries. But to make that happen, I mean, yes, it costs money, we need funding, we do have funding, but in the end it takes a good team to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I assume a lot of the kind of emphasis is around the tech team, you know, building that arm out. Is that where you see kind of a lot of the major investment going?
I mean, we have a really good tech team at the moment. We may add a couple positions to that team, but we've been lucky to get a good tech team quite early, so we're not really dependent on working with outsourced companies. But it's a mix of everything, right? So once we add a new city, we need people who do sales to basically get new contracts with restaurants signed. We need to build an account management at some point once we get big enough. But I wouldn't say there's one certain department that requires a lot more attention than the others. It just basically grows organically together.
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously an awesome journey to be on for those. We always kind of do it on this show. Those people interested in kind of learning more, you know, perhaps looking at careers that are available, where can they go to check things out?
So they can essentially go to our websites. We have a website and we have an app. The UK website would be discoeat.co.uk. The German one is discoeat.de. And if you scroll to the bottom, you'll find a job section. So we have several positions that are available right now in several countries. So I'm sure there will be something for the people listening to the podcast. And if you want to find out more about like our culture, the way the way we do things at Discoeat, you can always go to Glassdoor. I haven't checked it in a while, but I think we have pretty decent reviews from our employees. Because I mean, I'm the founder. I'll always tell you it's the best company to work for. But I think it's always good to also talk to people who actually do work here, who can tell you a lot about our culture, values, and how it is to work at Discoeat.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure being talking to you. I'm very much looking forward to seeing things continue to progress for you. It's an exciting time. You know, certainly a big fan of Discoeat as well. So please let's stay in touch, and it'll be interesting to see your journey moving forward.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right. Talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the show. I look forward to hearing everyone's thoughts on this episode over on the Venturi's Voice Slack group. See you next time.